I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. Southern California tickets are now on sale for the Steel Wars 200th podcast live at the Scum and Villainy Cantina on Saturday the 2nd of February at 3:30 p.m. And we will be joined by special interview guest Eric Walker, who played Mace Tuani in the 80s Ewok made for TV films A Caravan of Courage, An Ewok Adventure, and Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. Get ready for behind-the-scenes stories from the films, what it was like to work with Warwick Davis, and of course, the maker, George Lucas. Plus, we'll have a special audience mic set up if you've got a question to ask too. And if you can, hang out for a bit after the show and take in all the fun of the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Pre-sale tickets are just $10 and are available from SteelWars.com or $12 on the door from the Scum and Villainy Cantina. I cannot wait to talk Ewoks with Eric, and I hope to see you there. But for now, let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Strothers Wars. I am Eric Strothers, and I do love Steel Wars. And in each episode, I find a Patreon supporter to talk about it with. In this episode, I talk to Matt Frost, also known as Froosh. You might recognize his name if you are in the Facebook group, the Steel Wars Listeners Star Wars Safe Haven. His wit is without equal, and he's also really funny to boot. So let's just get into this. Froosh, I really appreciate you doing this, man. I've been wanting to talk to you for, this is as close to real life as I'm going to be able to talk to you for a while at least. So I've been looking forward to this forever, my man.
Me too, mate. Very much so. Thank you for having me on.
Now, just to get it out of the way, are you for sure not coming to Celebration in April?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. Something amazing would have to happen, like money rain down from the sky, or, you know, and no, Mary Poppins would have to happen. If Mary Poppins came down to look after the family to help my wife, then we could go.
I 100% get it, man. I can't believe my wife was so cool about me going last year. And if it wasn't, I mean, it's a 6-hour drive for me this time. And so that's, if it wasn't for that, it would have been a lot tougher sell. I couldn't imagine, you know, what with you having to fly halfway across the world to come hang out with a bunch of nerds. Before we dive into the episodes, we always ask this, and it's something that Steel asks all of his guests. And let's talk about your Star Wars fandom. So when did you first get into Star Wars?
I'm a 77 baby, so I was born around the time that Star Wars came out, but I don't really actually remember when my first experience of Star Wars. I think they used to show the movies in school holidays, so it would have been on earlier on telly, so it would have gone on at 7:30 and finished at 9:30, so I would have been allowed to stay up and watch it around about, and then I think I must have seen part of it, and then I was sick when I was about 4 or 5, and Mum bought me a couple of the action figures, and she bought me Luke Skywalker in his X-Wing gear and Darth Vader, and I think I was done then. And then once I went to school, I I had a friend around the corner had a video recorder, so he'd taped it off the telly, and then I could see the whole thing, and about 5 years old. So, yeah.
Nice. Now, do you recall for sure which movie you saw first?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely Star Wars. And then it was very hard to get Empire Strikes Back in our town, and we didn't have a video recorder. So you'd have to hire a video. We'd have to hire a video recorder and then hope we could get Empire Strikes Back. But I did see Return of the Jedi before Empire Strikes Back in the drive-through in my hometown. That's probably my clearest early memory. I remember it really well, being in the drive-through with the family watching it. So
I can't recall. I think I may have seen Star Wars in a drive-in, but none of the others. That's kind of a lost thing now. There's a drive-in sort of close to where I live, and you know, now when you do find them, you actually tune your car stereo to a frequency and listen to it that way instead of the crappy speaker hanging on the window. But
yeah.
So did you collect a lot of the toys when you were young? I know, you know, I've heard Steel talk about how just finding some of the stuff was tough for you guys.
Yeah, so in my hometown, they were in supermarkets and as well as the one toy store. And so that when Mum started buying them for me, I would have been four. So that would have been 81, 82. So all the Empire Strikes Back toys were still very much in the stores. And then I was through the Return of the Jedi phase too. And then I remember them slowly fading out of the stores. But living in a small town, occasionally I'd go to the city and you'd go into the big department stores and see the racks and racks of them. It was, you know, that was pretty cool. But yeah, I had a lot. I probably had about maybe 25 or 6 figures, I guess, of the initial lot. But no vehicles, just mini rigs, just that. Yeah,
that was going to be my next question too. Did you have any of the vehicles? So do you have any of the stuff now that you had when you were a child?
Yeah, quite a bit. A lot of somebody gave me a heap of theirs, like about 20 of theirs. And then I've lost some of mine. Some of the mini rigs got destroyed, and yeah, it's funny with the mini rigs. Like I can remember on Christmas, coming up to Christmas, you know, it comes back every year. I wanted an AT-AT so badly.
Oh yeah.
So I'd ask Father Christmas or Santa for an AT-AT, and I'd get out my two little AT-AT pilots and I'd stick them underneath my pillow ready for the next day so that we could run out and I could put them in the AT-AT. And yeah, every year, no AT-AT. And yeah, there'd be a mini rig under there, and I found out years later, like Mum just said, like they were just too expensive, they're just out of our price range. But you don't understand that as a kid. And then so I tried to tone it down for Christmas, and I wanted a snow speeder, so I had a snow speeder pilot underneath the pillow, and that didn't work either. More mini rigs. So yeah,
the AT-AT, man, that was untouchable for a lot of kids, I think, and yeah. I was definitely one of those. My parents were not having that when I was young.
I fully understand now, but yeah, it's a painful experience.
Well, you know, my wife is the firm voice of reason in our household when it comes to stuff like that, because I will just blindly throw money at stuff like that for my kids, and then decide we'll figure it out later, which my wife is like, no, we'll figure it out now, and the answer is no. Yeah. Now, do you collect now currently?
Not really. I buy some of the 3.75 inch figures for the kids to play with, but they're not for keeping on the shelves or anything. They're definitely for the kids to play with, because we have a lot of neighbors too that come around and we look after for long periods of time. So Everyone likes playing with the Star Wars toys, but I bought my first two collectibles the other day for me. And strangely enough, I bought an AT-AT pilot and a snow trooper, and I've got them in my studio on top of the speakers. So, and I felt so guilty when I bought them because they were toys for me. There was no pretending that they were for anyone else. I couldn't say that they weren't. So I thought I'll just say that I bought them for somebody else or something like that. And I had all this stuff prepared in my head, and then as soon as I saw my wife, I just blurted out, I just bought two action figures for me. And she was like,
oh my god.
And they were on sale. They were like $10 each. Like, and you know, but I felt terrible.
Oh my gosh, man. If I let that make me feel guilty, I would be seeing a therapist daily because I have bought so much stuff. Just when I think I always tell myself I'm not going to get anything else, and then I'll get something else. But what I'm really looking at now is my wife Amanda asked me, is there any like one big Star Wars thing that you're wanting this year? And I said, what I really want is the Legacy Collection Millennium Falcon, which is whenever it's the biggest Millennium Falcon that they ever made. And it's super detailed and super cool. And there was a whole bunch of them left at, I want to say, was it KB Toys? That people were buying them on clearance because they couldn't get rid of them. And of course, now they're the Holy Grail. And my friend Rich, who owns this store, Saga Toys, that I do go on and on about on the Bad Motivators, he has one that's mint in the original sealed box. And I said, no, I don't want that. I mean, my wife was not going to pay the amount of money that he wants for that, which is, it's definitely reasonable given the market for it. But I want one I can play with. You know, I can't spend that kind of cash on something and feel even remotely good about it. But Now, are your kids as into Star Wars as you are?
No, not really. My 5-year-old is Soraya. She knows that it winds me up when she says Star Wars sucks. So she'll, but by the same token, she's quite partial to Rey.
Yeah.
And BB-8. And Sabine, my little 2-year-old, she quite likes Star Wars, particularly Chewie and BB-8 and R2-D2. She's sort of really mainly into those. So, yeah. But I don't push it too hard on them. You know, if you let them, they sort of enjoy it and like it a bit. They're such willful little girls that I just don't want to push it too hard because they'll just push back.
Right. Now, have you guys been into any of the cartoons like Rebels or now with Resistance? Has that hit for you guys yet?
We tried Rebels. Soraya got very ups because she was right into Darth Vader when she was little, when she was about 3. And she got quite upset that all the stormtroopers were getting shot. And then she lost interest.
Yeah.
And then we showed Sabine because we wanted to show her Sabine. She's not named after Sabine, but it was a pretty happy coincidence. We showed that and she was just like, oh, Sabine. And then she just lost interest. But they really, really liked the Forces of Destiny.
Yeah.
Little clips.
Yeah.
I thought they were brilliant too myself, actually. I thought they were probably one of my favorite things that's come out. They both dug them.
Have you checked out the, what is it, Galaxy of Adventures? That's a new thing on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel. And I think that's what it's called. They're these 1-minute long sort of anime-esque retellings of moments from so far the original trilogy. They're super well done. And my little boy, I don't think my little girl has seen him yet, but my little boy, man, he was floored by it. They're really cool. It's from a cartoon aspect, it is really something to see.
I haven't seen them yet because I want to see them actually on the telly as opposed to just having a look at them on my phone. But I'll definitely watch them with the kids, I think. I think, yeah, they both, Soraya in particular, really likes your action-based cartoons. So she might dig on that.
Yeah. Yeah, she'd probably dig it.
We haven't tried Resistance. It's a bit hard to get hold of here in Australia. So
yeah.
I haven't got time to sort of work it out just yet.
It's weird because I forget that, like, even with YouTube, there'll be things that are geographically blocked. And it's like, because the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel has the first episode of Resistance on it, I think.
But, okay. Yeah. But
I don't know. You know, it might not be available there. VPN, my man. That's what you need.
Yeah, I need to get on the dark web.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about Steel Wars. And it's funny because one of the first things that you mentioned here, because what I was going to ask you is, how did you first get into Steel Wars? Now I'm going to assume that your kids don't listen to Steel Wars.
That's correct. Yes.
same on my end. But so you mentioned that episode 72, which is the Force Awakens live reaction, was that the very first Steel Wars episode you ever heard?
Yeah, it was. Just before Force Awakens came out, it popped into my head that I should try looking for a Star Wars podcast. I'd only ever listened to one podcast before, which is a very famous interview one here in Australia. And I must have listened to about 20 of them, and just nothing really worked for me at all. But that was before I realised that you have to sort of give podcasts a little bit longer of a trial than you do some other things. Mm-hmm. You've got to get to sort of know the people and get to know their personalities a bit. So there's some that I listened to in that first 20 that I've gone back to and really enjoyed. But I wasn't getting very far, and I saw this one pop up that was, you know, Australian comedian or something like that. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm after. I'm not after a comedy thing. But then I decided to try it just after The Force Awakens, because it came up quite popular, his live live reaction one. And I listened to it. And I got about 5 or 6 or 7 minutes in, and I'm like, this isn't for me at all. Because it was all these people yelling and laughing, and I'm like, why are they doing it live? This is just, this isn't right.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders. And you want to know something? I do love Star Wars. And each week I organize an event that shortens my lifespan. The Force is awakened. I'm not sure I am. So, and I know the person that watched the film next to me was not for some of the film. She looks so pretty when she sleeps, though. So, I don't know when it was on the podcast that we decided to do this bizarre thing. It came up impromptu, and I said that would be a weird idea to do a podcast straight after it just to find out whether I can talk after a new Star Wars film. Cop that, haters. I'm here. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm saying it. Misa talking. Pretty happy with that. By a lot of noise, what did you think? Ooh. It's one that girl there in blue that did not budge. Ah, oh, she just did a shrug.
Get out.
She's just disappointed they didn't show the Star Trek trailer.
I can't believe it that some of those people that were yelling and cheering in that podcast are now some of my really close friends. And that I've been to numerous live podcasts myself and really, really enjoy them. And it just goes to show that you got to find your in.
Right.
When I eventually went back and listened to that podcast, I loved it. But I didn't have my in, and I just feel so bad that I just breezed over it the first time. Just went, nope, not for me.
Well, you know, because that is that type, that style of Steel Wars episode, it can be a little bit jarring. It's great to hear if you've heard some of the other ones already.
It just didn't work on me at all. But, you know, I really looking back, I actually that's one of the ones that I've listened to more than once. But yeah, it's having been to one now, I understand completely what it's all about.
Did you go to the Rogue One reaction show? Did you manage to do that?
I didn't. I nearly did. My wife actually said, "Oh, you go over and do it." But then I sort of was the one to pull back and go, oh, nah, this isn't the right thing to do for us at the moment. So, but I went to the Last Jedi one, and that was very good.
So. Oh, I forgot that. Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking that he was in the States when that hit. But so I bet that was quite a scene then. Now, you had you been to his other live shows that weren't the initial movie reactions?
Yeah, he did a couple of live shows here a year, so, and I'd been to a couple of them, so, and asked some stupid questions and that sort of thing.
Yeah, those are good fun. But so if anybody who listens to this, if you ever get a chance to go to see one of the live shows, definitely go. I can't recommend it enough. You're never going to meet more people that have your same weird warped sense of the world than you will at one of these shows. So it's really pretty solid group of people.
Yeah. They're very hot here in Adelaide because he comes over during our Fringe Festival and it's hot. Because, you know, you turn the air conditioner off when you're recording a podcast and it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So where I record is in my upstairs office in my house, which is a partially finished attic. So it's a billion degrees during the summer and it's freezing during the winter. And, you know, in the winter time, which it's winter here right now, I've got a space heater that's like a radiator. So there's no forced air and I can leave it running. But oh my God, in the summertime, I sweat gross. It's like, okay, we're going to do a 20-minute podcast tonight and that's it.
Ugh. Yeah.
So okay, the next episode that you mentioned is episode 19 with Hugh Fleming and Jamie McCarney. What about this one speaks to you?
There's a couple of things about this. Hugh Fleming's artist who's done Star Wars arts for comic books and a very famous picture called Jedi Rocks or Star Wars Rocks. God. I should know. What? Star Wars Rocks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
It's got the all the characters in as playing as a band, which is fantastic. It's quite well known. And he's a magnificent artist. But the funny thing about Hugh is, you know, Steel has his Facebook group and Hugh was on that. And I'd sort of missed, like, I don't know all the background knowledge about people and, you know, and I would have heard this episode, but quite often I'm at work and I might not have picked up on everything that was being said. And so I'd been, like, purposely annoying this guy called Hugh Fleming in the, in Steel's Facebook group because I just decided to pick on someone like I do and I'd just been... been trolling the guy mercilessly. And then I must have been listening to another episode, and he said, you know, artist Hugh Fleming. Like, and I'm just like, I wonder, is that the same guy? And then it all sort of fell into place, and I went back and listened to it. And I was like, oh, God, I probably should have been a little bit more respectful to the guy. But then it was so funny because I was listening to the episode and he was being the exact same sort of troll to Steele in the episode that I was to him. So I was just like, ah, no, he deserves it.
He has done work for Dark Horses, Star Wars and Indiana Jones comics, and the Star Wars insider, Hugh Fleming.
Yeah, hi.
You seem like that was all a shock to you, Hugh.
Yeah, it is a shock. I'd forgotten all about that.
The 90s are coming back.
Yeah, Hugh's pretty old now, so he forgets what he's done.
Exactly. Yeah, it is all a bit of a shock.
Yeah. Now, just to update everyone listening, my house is totally trashed at the moment. I'm installing these new cabinets to put all my collectibles in, and I just built some new couches from IKEA today.
They're very comfortable.
No, but there is something I realized about these couches this morning, which is very special.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you guys know the now quite iconic photo already of the Star Wars Episode 7 cast sitting around in that black and white photo?
Yeah,
is Harrison Ford?
Yeah, it looks
these
great.
Are the same couches?
They are.
No way!
But I did realize that after I had purchased them. So check that out.
Oh, look at
the
photo.
Are you sure they're exactly the same?
Yeah,
couches?
They are. Look you.
So you're telling me the Star Wars production office didn't spring for decent couches, they just went to IKEA.
Hey, man.
What you're saying is...
Hang on, I'm just looking at the details. Yeah, they are similar.
They look very similar.
Look, they might not be grey in real life. This is a black and white photograph.
But they're the same style. You can get,
Hugh,
you're ruining
the magic.
Different covers, Hugh.
This is what he does, by the way.
That's what I do. I like
they are.
I like to demystify everything.
It's the same couch.
I feel like... I believe you.
We're about to have a script read. This is... Don't ruin my dream, mate.
This is great. All right.
It's like, oh, God, that's... It's pretty much exactly what, you know, what I would have said. And then later on, there's quite a brilliant part about, you know, where they're talking about all the toys that... You know, we were talking earlier about all the toys that... you know, that used to be in the store and staring at them.
What about you? What was your first memory?
I think I walked into a toy shop in Frankston and they just had so many, like all the figures.
Yep.
And because all the figures were so interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just like, oh, I want to be into this.
And we're about the same age almost, aren't we, I think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did you have... I remember walking into the Toy World when I was a kid around that same age and just looking at the Millennium Falcon box up on the top shelf, just staring. I remember the pain in my neck, cricking it back, and just looking like it was a promised land that I could never get to.
Yeah, I never remember seeing the Millennium Falcon. I remember seeing the shuttle.
Oh.
And it was in such a big box. And yeah, when you're a kid and you don't have money to buy something, you get good at staring in shops.
Yeah.
Just staring the shit out of it. I used to... This is... I hope you know, the Statue of Limitations has ended. I used to open up the boxes and take out the catalogues.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd never shoplift the toys or anything, but I'd take the little booklet so I could go home and just, you know, stare the shit out of those toys, man. Yeah, when I see you like at toy fairs and stuff, you see, you know, people are trying to sell the old collection things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. And then for old time's sake, I'll steal it from the stall. I won't.
No. Okay. There's a look of horror on my face at the moment. I didn't know that about you, Steele.
And who was your guy or your girl, your character, Hugh, that you're related to, you loved?
I think I loved them all.
Yeah.
I think the first action figures I ever bought, we weren't terribly wealthy, so I had the opportunity to own three original action figures in 78 when they first came out. That was as much as I was allowed to have. So I picked... I was very logical about this. I picked Luke, Vader, and Chewie. Yeah, one human, one villain, one alien. You know, so that was a pretty good spread of... figures.
I was so hoping out of the original 12, you'd be like, I got Death Star guy. I got the guy with the stack hat on, Death Star Gunner or Death Star Commander, whatever his name was, Jawa and a Tusken Raider.
Jawa with a plastic cape and
We all did it as children. Just, you know, you'd go into a toy store and just stare at those toys, just picturing what it'd be like to play with them. And Hugh's a really funny guy. So is Jamie McCartney on that episode. It's definitely one of my favourites, just for Hugh's wit and those wonderful stories about those toys.
You know, mentioning that, just as a quick aside here, that's something that I've argued with people about when they tell me that I'm just torturing myself by not opening some of the toys I collect. And I don't do it specifically because I think I'm going to be a millionaire by having this toy still sealed in the box. But a big part of the nostalgia for me was being in the store and holding it in my hand, imagining how great it would be to take it home and play with it, but I never got to. And that, I mean, I know that sounds silly, but that's a big part of the experience of my childhood, is looking at that longingly. So I totally get it.
Look, there was something about those Kenner toys and the packaging, and, you know, if you were into the movies and the love and all that nostalgia stuff, there was, there was sort of magic in those toys. Like, and that's not really something that I'd normally say. It's not something I'd normally feel, but they're very special. Like, and part of them was in their little bubble packs with their and all the pictures and on the back and all the names, and, you know, there was a reason why they were insanely popular. They were special.
Yeah, I 100% agree, man. I do. Oh gosh, I have so many memories of it.
We're coming up to Christmas time, and, like, you know, you'd go under the Christmas tree, and I tell you what, I could see from the other side of the room what a card backed figure looks like when it's wrapped up.
Oh yeah.
You know, absolutely. All the angles, like, and you'd, you know.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I also know very much what a mini rig looks like when it's wrapped up.
Some of the mini rigs were really cool, though, man. I gotta say, but I understand the lament.
Oh, there was actually a mini rig that was designed to fit in the belly of an AT-AT. So it would actually squeeze in there, and you could carry it in the little fold down compartment in the body of the AT-AT. And I reckon I slept one Christmas Eve with that in bed as well, because I had that, and that was going to be the year, you know. Like, I was not only going to have my two little AT-AT pilots, I was going to have the little mini rig to go in there as well.
I didn't realize that. I'll have to look into that. I mean, not that I'm never going to get an AT-AT, but.
I've definitely still got that one. I reckon it was called, I should know this, INT-4, I reckon. Yeah, it was like a little, it had fold-out wings, little grey thing, and it had a little red viewport, like just like the AT-ATs, so shaped the same.
I'm going to go look that up later. I want to see. I do.
I'll find mine and I'll send you a photo with my sad face next to it. Like, this was my AT-AT.
Excellent. The next episode that you mentioned is the A New Hope live commentary. And
yeah,
this was a really good one. This was like, when did he do this? The middle of 2017?
It goes back a little bit before that, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure. I remember very well when I listened to it. That was back when I was a Bandcamp member and you could go back and listen to anything. But I was actually riding my bike trying to get fit. So I was riding the bike in the middle of summer up at very steep hill and then back down again and then up again and back down again. And I was listening to it in my headphones. And I'm not a big sort of laugh out loud sort of person. but I had hysterics on the on my bike listening to the to this, particularly the clip here about the bad hair club and the prawn cocktails. Just yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What sort of dick drops someone off half the way? Here we go.
Oh man, that's no moon.
A huge speaker in the side of it.
Yeah.
That dude's haircut. It's fucking amazing.
Mad sideburns.
We're the 8 people with the worst haircuts in the galaxy. We meet here once a year.
Evil hair empire.
This man has plastic hair.
Love it how Tarkin gets the sweet seat.
I have a lot of buttons on my shirt. If you press one of them, my head will light up. I bet you don't know which one it is. Maybe try a button if you're brave. I would never press a button. No, I'm too scared. I only have red buttons.
And all of them seem to be carrying multiple whiteboard markers. Yeah.
There's prawn cocktails in the middle under that black dome.
Colonel Sanders in the background.
Yeah. Meeting over, time for prawn cocktails. Oh, I don't know, man. Destroying a planet's pretty sick.
This dude's begging for a try.
I'm going to fucking slap you. He's going to get a space slap.
He just said, give us a choke. Can you choke me?
No, he's not getting choked. He just realised he's allergic to prawn cocktail. Yeah.
You should have not looked beneath the black dome until the meeting was over. Now the allergic reaction you are feeling will kill you.
Baby vomit.
I love it when he goes down against the control panel. He's like, I acted the fuck out of that.
It's just what I love about Star Wars so much, that if you love something, you should be able to really, really take the mickey out of it. And this is just a beautiful example of it. And some very funny people, Bart and Tegan and Greg Fleet. It was a very good commentary.
Yeah, I think Bart Freebarn, I think he is awesome. I love hearing him. And you're right, by the way, the date was, when I glanced at it, that was the date that all these went up on Patreon from Bandcamp. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because that didn't feel right at all. So I'm not sure when it was. But I think what's cool about this is that it, the way you've mentioned it about being able to pick apart the stuff that you love, it's hearing that other people that you know worship these movies have had the same nitpicks about the movie, so it's not just you. You don't feel like, oh, thank God, I thought secretly I didn't love it enough.
And I can laugh about, I like laughing about the bits I love. I like laughing about the bits I don't like. I like laughing at all of it. I think that's something that's actually missing a lot from the new Star Wars, is they don't mind making comedy in them, but they're no longer doing the parody outside of it. And I think, you know, and you can take things too seriously, and you can take your own intellectual property too seriously too. And I hope they lighten up one day and go back to some of the parodies that they used to do. But yeah, and because this shows just how funny it can be when you make fun of things. So it was like an audio robot chicken sketch, that commentary. It was.
Was there ever a point in it where you're like, oh no, you don't. You've gone too far now.
Nah, never. Never. You can be a little bit too, you can take yourself and you can take your the things you love too seriously. And I always like it when my initial reaction is like, oh, you can't say that. And then you think, ah, no, yes, you definitely can. And you definitely should.
Well, probably the only person I can think of that you could have added to that mix that maybe could have taken it into the, oh, no, you can't go that far, but they would have, their logic would have been sound, is the object of this next episode pick. And that's our good friend Robbo from the, you guys will know him from the Robbo Report. But this is one of the original call-in show episodes. And this wasn't the introduction of Robbo. This was his second time in?
I think so. I missed Robbo's, the live introduction of Robbo when, you know, he got everybody's, well, not everybody, but got some knickers in a twist, you know, from how he spoke and to Steele. And so I had to listen to it back afterwards. And I was just like, oh, you know, I thought, oh, well, I kind of find this guy kind of funny, but Steele knew he was onto something good with him straight away. You could just tell. And Robbo's a, you know, he's such a good fun guy. So when I listened into this one, because I listened to this one live because Amanda Ward was on, and I really enjoy her stuff, and I'd found some time and I was out on my balcony listening to them. But then Robbo comes on and he starts talking about, you know, the imagination of children and the imagination of his son and how special imagination is. And God damn it, man, it got a bit dusty out there on the balcony.
I'm enthralled with this the alternate episode 7 storyline. And when you said it was going to be very complex, I was thinking, oh my god, it's going to involve two Clone Wars Skywalkers with and there'll be three U's in one of their names.
It involves a lot of, well, if you think that the prequels created timeline problems, his version of the story really creates problems, because he has Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader meeting when they were like 6 years old, and they were trained by Luke's mom somehow, who was, I guess, older. And Luke's mom is just like that figure that he has. He just calls that Luke's mom. He doesn't even have a name for it. And he made me draw Luke's castle or Darth Vader's castle and all this extra stuff. And like, we were like coming out, and at the end of it, I just didn't feel like showing him the other movie. Because I felt like this is something that, not like out of, oh, you shouldn't watch them because, you know, something I've got. But, you know, because he's going to, you know, I'm sure he'll be at a friend's house one day and he'll put it on and he'll see it. But I haven't showed it to him because I kind of wanted to hold on to that for a little while longer. I feel like there's something kind of like, I'm worried that with all this Star Wars stuff coming out, I mean, I love it. For me, as a grown-up, it's great because my imagination is completely shot, right? So, you know, it's like once you're over 30, it just stops working, I think. And but for kids, it's still there. And it doesn't have to, you know, make sense or anything. But they've got these wild stories. And I'm like, because he's also like me in a sense that he catalogs, you know, he's really a stickler for details. And when he learns a detail, he never lets go of it. And so I feel like if I start showing him other stuff, he's going to like, it's just going to latch on to all these like facts about these things. And then his imaginary world just disappears. I was curious whether, I mean, maybe that's, is that like a silly concern? Do you think a child's imagination is just boundless and they'll always come up with something extra? Or am I, do you guys kind of understand what I'm, I mean, how do you feel about
that? Yeah.
This is filling me with a sort of reminiscent sadness that only a Toy Story film can give me, and I mean that in as a compliment of just that time when you've got that imagination, you're making up stories. It's very special, and that's always my concern when we fill in all this thing in the timeline with just say like that run in with the bounty hunter at Ord Mandel or the Battle of Tanab. Is this like we made up what that stuff was, and then you know it's a huge concern that they're desperate to or just so keen to fill in all these gaps that, you know, these things that are referenced in films to go back. Oh, let's say what that was. Let's say what this was. Let's show how, you know, people want to see Han do everything that was ever mentioned he did. And it's, you can make up other alternate things. Like he doesn't have to, there's other stuff in his CV that we don't know about yet. But Rob, I have to say, I think your concerns are very touching. What do you think, Amanda?
It was a really, really, really poignant take on imagination and children and what imagination means in the context of Star Wars. And there was no better person to be talking to than Amanda about it. And yeah, it was a really nice clip.
It's one of those things where I can really appreciate how much that moved you, because I was watching my son play just a couple weeks ago. I think I posted a picture of it and just mentioned that I was so envious of his ability to get completely absorbed into what he's doing and completely lost in it with no shame of where his imagination was taking him or anything like that, and how immersed he was in it. And I'm like, that is a very enviable thing to be able to do, and to look at a child and look at him doing that. And I wouldn't ever want to take that from him at all.
Yeah, it's children are amazing, and I think back to when I was a kid, and you know, like you'd go around to a friend's place and you'd have it like the little toy cars and the multi-story car park and the little petrol station down the top, and you'd sit there, pull up your car, pretend to put petrol in it, and then drive it up and park it in the car parking spot and stuff like that, and that would be the best game ever. Mm-hmm. And now you think you're an adult, what's worse? I've got to go find a park, I've got to fill the car up with fuel. It's just like, if you told 5-year-old me that you're going to get one day to fill a real car up with fuel and park in a multi-story car park, I would have been beside myself. And it's the magic of being a child. And Robbo obviously gets that. And we all get it to a certain extent. And you see it in your own kids, and I see it in my own kids. And, you know, that joy and that being uninhibited by, you know, realistic thoughts. And it's a special thing. And it was great to hear him talk about it.
He has some really unique takes on, like, the mind of a kid. And... well, just for example, one of the things he talks about, he was one of the reasons that, like, I think he was talking about his son in particular, but kids are drawn to the Incredible Hulk. And they said, well, it's basically because he is a giant toddler, because he's got all this power, but he doesn't understand what to do with it, and he's upset, but he's not sure why. And I was like, oh my gosh, that actually is exactly how my son operates.
Yeah, yeah. And just recently, like, you know, obviously we're talking to Patreons, like, you know, Robbo was on the Robbo Report while Steele had his baby. And, you know, it's just great. Like, you know, the guy gets it. He gets kids.
So, okay. So the last episode that you mentioned here is episode 80 with James Fosdyk and Luca Mueller. Tell me about this, Matt.
So this is a really good episode for me for a couple of reasons. So James Fosdyk is from my hometown, and he's the little brother of one of my good friends there. So I grew up with James, like having sleepovers at his house and, you know, with his, you know, brother and stuff like that. And so I know him well. He was a cool kid then. He's a cool guy now. He's also an extremely talented artist. And I just got into Steel Wars by that time, and so I was looking forward to him being on, and because this was in Adelaide, and so I was very much looking forward to going along to the show, but I got sent away for work and I couldn't go. And in this particular episode, James and Luca and Steel are talking, and it starts to rain, and it was one of the summer storms we get here in Adelaide, when we have a period of a week of really, really hot weather, and then the change comes in and dumps a heap of rain in a big thunderstorm on top of us, and the venue started leaking, and was raining inside and raining on the stage, and they were putting buckets and, obviously trying not to get an electric shock from their microphones, I would imagine. It was knowing what sort of, weather it would have been. I found it hilarious to listen to, and having been to that venue as well. And then the other thing that I found really good about this is Steel and James talk about the lead up to The Force Awakens and Steel doing his live show, and how worried James was. I feel funny calling him James, I normally call him Foz. How worried Foz was about Steel if he didn't like the film.
This time last year, and we were talking about your wedding and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure I was the same as everyone else that you spoke to about it, where I was just like, God, I hope it's good. I really hope this Star Wars film is good, because your life could be ruined because of it. Like, you put so much stock in it, and I was so worried for you that it just... I was so happy that it was quite a great film.
Yeah, I sort of... I heard that a lot, and I think when it came to the actual night, when we did the midnight screening at Knox, and then we did the podcast afterwards, for those that don't know, it was like 2:30 to about 5 in the morning, was it?
Too late.
Yeah.
Too early.
And I think by the time it got to it kind of, like the vibe before the screening... it was just, like, it was pretty intense how happy everyone was. Like it was a little bit overwhelming. And, like, just all these people that I'd met over the years sort of coming together at this one place, and just really, really happy. Like, when I listened back, we did one, the podcast directly after, which was like a blog pod of that night, and just to hear when people got off the bus and Dave Callan and that, and they were just there was just so much joy that I sort of like I want it to be good, but I kind of, it was sort of done, like it was sort of like they've made it, it's going to be how it is, but all this stuff before and after is awesome. And
I was just so relieved for you. I walked out relieved.
I must say, I was pretty... It's so weird when you watch one for the first time, because you've watched the other one so many times. And I just think it's weird to see different words go up the screen, or like just the different... Like the different episode number. And like, it's just like, whoa, new Roman numeral. It's like wild. And I remember being pretty... tense, like in that first Poe Dameron bit.
Yeah.
And then once the laser beam got shot and it stopped, and I was just like, oh, this is banging.
Rain. Put your chair under there and then just put your...
I'm going to win this
under.
Sweat competition, no doubt. Yeah.
We've got a leak in the roof.
The roof is leaking on Luca.
Yep.
This is a Yoda's hut type situation we're in now.
Yeah.
I was very nervous. And then when the laser beam froze... Yeah. I was kind of like, oh, it's so new, but it's so Star Wars. Like, it was sort of really like in my head, it was just like, how have they not done this before?
Yeah.
I'd love to have because Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams, who wrote the film, they walked around just around Santa Monica a lot, just taping themselves, talking.
Yeah, right.
Like, they'd like theorize on ideas and stuff. And then they just get someone to write it out. Mm. But I'd love to hear the discussion of when they came up with the laser beam and just who came up with it and just the other person just like it just would have been like awesome to hear that.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome to come up with it. But yeah. I don't know. It was weird because it did, the whole thing meant a lot to me, but then I realized what it really meant. Like, yeah. And it was just about like hanging out with people and the joy of, it was really cool. Yeah, it was just the vibe, but like before.
Oh, it's amazing. Because I went out there with my brother and it was just so much fun. Everyone was so excited, such good vibes. And yeah, it's like you say, like it almost didn't matter what was going to happen with the movie because it's like, we've had this. We get to feel all these endorphins and sweet feelings and stuff. And now the movie. And it was great. And it's such a bonus that it was good, but it was already a sweet time.
What did you think of the film, Luca?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Like the first time I watched, I think like a lot of people, it was like too much to take in. It was like, there was, I think it was good, but who knows really. And then we are going to die today. so I'm glad the movie was good.
Is anyone in the crowd getting rained on? Oh, you are? That's because you're special.
I feel like we're about to ask those long, tall people about the clone system.
This is one of my favourite things about Steel and about Steel Wars is that Steel says it didn't actually matter what the film was like because he'd put all his effort into putting in this live show that I didn't like to start with and turned off after 7 minutes. He'd put all this effort into putting this show together and all the lead up he'd done and all the podcasts he'd done and all the people he'd interviewed. But in the end, all that time he'd spent with people and all the fun he'd had up to leading up to it, it doesn't actually matter what the film's like. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. What really matters is all that time you've spent with the people and getting excited and sharing something with people. And it's just absolutely spot on. And when I was listening to it I was like, that's... That moment's gone now. We'll never have that lead up again. We'll never have that excitement. There'll never be that one first movie again, probably. And the fact that Steel was smart enough then to know that it wasn't about the movie, it was about the people you're doing it with. And when I look at my Star Wars fandom, I don't think of the movies as much as I think about the kids I grew up playing with, my sisters, like, you know, making up songs about Star Wars, like changing pop songs and, you know, putting Star Wars songs in it to sing to me in the car on long trips. Does that remind you of anyone? My mum buying me the toys. Like, I think of, you know, when I was older and going to the special editions with my friends, like driving up, getting speeding fines, you know, staying in shitty hotels to watch these movies in the big city. And, you know, I think, and then I think about The Last Jedi and, you know, going over to meet all the people I'd met online. And I think about like all the friends I've made around the world, like yourself, like, so still smart enough then, even way back then, to know it's not about the movie. It's not about whether you like the movie or not. So
that's really deep because it's so true. Whenever I think back about like my favorite Star Wars moments, they've always involved people. I mean, luckily I'm fortunate enough that I love the films too. That really has a way of working out. But yeah, man, and like you said, making friends all around the world. That it's almost bizarre, but it feels so natural that you stop thinking about the fact that in reality it's kind of weird. And because here just so the listeners know, man, Farouche is on the very top of my must meet in real life list of people, and all just because of we like Star Wars and happened to intersect because of a podcast and yeah, man, that's the part of the fandom that's really the best part.
Yeah, I think you can get a bit tied up, you know, in debating this and that about the films. And, you know, I think, like, I've definitely done it myself. You have a responsibility to curate your own fandom. And, I think it's important that, it's important for me personally that I just keep it more about the people than it ever will be about working out what I think's going to happen in this, or these people don't like that, or this has happened. I just think about all the friends and all the memories and stuff like that I have with the people is worth more than, if put it this way, if you gave me a choice between seeing episode 9 at all ever and keeping all the friends that I've made, I don't need to see the movie.
Man. I think I'd have to agree with you on that. Unless, the Blu-ray of episode 9 was in my hand, and then I would just hang up this call and be like, well, my convictions were there until I was faced with the reality of it. But no, you're right, man. Yeah. You are right. That is really cool. And the best moments I can think of in all this are all related to the people. And it's borderline overwhelming to think about it sometimes, but
it is, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Steele's podcast, because in the end he understands that.
Right.
Because, if you like something enough, you can have fun with it even if you don't like it.
Right.
Like, it's
those are words of wisdom, my friend. That needs to be somebody's ringtone, I think, on the phone. Not mine though, because I keep my phone muted all the time because I'm a decent human being. But
me too. These goddamn monsters.
I know, man. I know. Oh my gosh. It's funny. It's just so the little inside information here. Whenever I first called Matt on Skype, he heard the Skype ringtone in his headphones super loud, and it startled him. When I got the iPhone that I have now, I had never ever heard it ring, because I had it on vibrate from the minute I got it out of the box and turned it on. I had never heard the ringtone, because because of work, it's just constant. There's no point in listening to it because I can hear it vibrating just as well. And one day I had headphones on, I was listening to a podcast, and the phone started ringing, and I am not joking, I was like, what the hell is that sound? Until I realized it was my phone ringing. Oh, so that's what it sounds like.
But, not too true.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a Steel Wars episode that you can definitively say is your favorite by far? Or not even by far, but just your favorite?
I think this far in, I think was it Rebecca Edwards that you, one of the first ones that you did?
Yes.
I swear she picked every single episode that I would have picked.
Yeah. She nailed it. She really did. Because that was tough, because, the very next person can't possibly pick any of those episodes, or else we've got the same episode of Strathers Wars.
Oh, God. I think one of the two that I really remember the most were Lee Sales, which is one that Rebecca picked, which was a very well-respected political journalist. And the other one would have been Darren Hayes from Savage Garden.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good one.
He's a great storyteller. But there's been lots of great ones. So,
well, and for me personally, what I find so great about the show is there are a lot of great ones that are great for different reasons. You've got some pretty serious ones where, like, whenever he interviewed, let me think of what's one sticking off the top of my head that was like an amazing get for him. Leonard Maltin, that was a huge one. So you've got like a milestone event where, and he just knocks it out of the park from an interview standpoint and really gets him to open up and talk about stuff that you might not have been able to get him to talk about in more of a mainstream journalism setting. But then you take like the funniest live episodes. Like one of the ones I think is one of my favorites is, and I think I've played this in a recent Strathers Wars, is Danny McGinley was talking about comparing football to yeah. Empire Strikes Back. And oh yep. my God, it was just the way he put it together was so good. And I love that episode. And I think from a personal standpoint, it's because that was like one of the very first things production wise that I had done for Steel was putting together clips for this. Well, it's a platform that doesn't exist now, but anyway, little sizzle clips from these things. And that was the first episode I ever worked on. But it was also just so damn good too.
Yeah, Danny's very funny. He supports the same football team I support, and he gave that little spiel about the Empire Strikes Back and football on the way to us winning our first pennant or whatever you call it over there in 60 odd years. So I've got a very special fondness for that episode. So yeah, one other one that pops into my mind is when he interviewed the Suck Lord.
Oh yeah,
I think you've had that on there, but the way that guy spoke about art and the relationship of art to the artist and was very fascinating. That was like compelling listening. So yeah, complete surprise though. Who would have thought?
But, yeah, I was blown away by that episode. I'm gonna go listen to it right now. I'll see you later. I'm just kidding. But well, Matt, man, I thank you so much for doing this. I could just keep this going all day. You pick some great ones, but just talking to you has been just as fun as checking out the episodes.
Absolutely. It's been great talking to you too. It's been a long time coming.
And there we have it, another episode of Strother's Wars. Bruce is super cool. I'm so glad I got to talk to him, and I have to meet this dude in real life and hang out. Maybe one of these days I'll make it to Australia. Anyway, I hope that you'll go back and listen to the full versions of all the episodes that we talked about. If you're a Patreon supporter and you would like to be on Strother's Wars, all you got to do is comment on the Patreon post for this episode and I'll reach out to you. I've got a bit of a backlog of people that are wanting to do the show, and obviously I'm super slow at getting them out, but I will get in touch with you and we'll figure something out. If you're not a Patreon supporter, what are you waiting on, man? All you got to do is go to patreon.com/steelwars, and for just $1 a month, you get access to all of the entire back catalog of the regular Steel Wars episodes. And for $3 a month, you'll also get all of the Patreon exclusive shows, such as Juklin Strikes Back, Star Wars Year by Podcast with Hawes Burkhart from the Blue Harvest Podcast, The Robbo Report, and more. If you want to find out more about what I do, check out my Star Wars podcast, The Bad Motivators, where we talk Star Wars from a pretty unique perspective, if I do say so myself. And I'm also on the Making Star Wars Network's very own The Sith List. Anyway, guys, it's been awesome. Until next time, I am out of here. And may that force be with you.
Podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
If you're after more Star Wars listening, please check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net, where you can find such great podcasts as Blue Harvest, First Order Transmissions, Idiots Array, Making Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting, Podcast 2187, Rebel Girl, Rogue One, Tarkin's Top Shelf, The Cargo Hold, and The Sith List. So that's planetbroadcasting.com and makingstarwars.net. Los Angeles tickets are now on sale for our final live podcast of the year at Geeky Tees Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank on Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. For the first time ever, we'll be doing a live podcast version of our annual Listener Prediction Review Show, where we review all the Star Wars news predictions that you guys made at the start of the year. I'll be joined on stage by a grip of previous Steel Wars guests, along with the live audience, to help us decide who was the Jedi Master Star Wars predictor for 2018. And spoiler alert, I did not fare well in this competition. It's going to be a hilarious afternoon of live Star Wars fun, Saturday, December 15th, 4 p.m. at Geeky Tees Burbank. Tickets are on sale at merchostore.com. The link is in the show notes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.